gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away, radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, work not for the food that perisheth, but work for the food which abideth unto eternal life. It is written, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall not hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. It is written, this is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. It is written, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they beheld the signs which he did on them that were sick. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming unto him, saith unto Philip, whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me, thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the bread of life. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was a very unusual miracle for several reasons. For one thing, more people saw it than any other miracle the Lord ever worked. At least 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Then also, it is unusual because it is the only miracle, aside from the resurrection of Jesus, that is recorded by all four of the gospel writers. It seems the Holy Spirit as something important he wants to emphasize to us in this miracle. Jesus had gone across the Sea of Galilee into a mountain and sat with his disciples. And a great multitude had followed him because they beheld the signs he did on them that were sick. This great number that followed him was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Jacob as he blessed his 12 sons. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 9, Jacob said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That prophecy has been fulfilled many times, including this event, when the great multitude followed him. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It also continues to be fulfilled every Sunday today, when millions of Christians all over the world, in every generation, in every century, have assembled every Lord's Day to eat of the bread and drink of the cup, then unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And then the final fulfillment of that prophecy will be on that day when the great number that no man can number out of every tribe and tongue and nation. Here's the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, and the victorious shout of the Lord as he descends. And they are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So Jesus lifted up his eyes and beheld the large crowd. Mark says Jesus looked upon them with compassion, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. If he taught them many things, we wonder, what did he teach? Mark does not say, but Luke fills in the rest. Luke says he spake unto them many things about the kingdom of God. It would be hard to find any subject where Jesus had more to say about than the kingdom of God. Many times we read where Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto, thou art not far from the kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." If Jesus had so much to say about the kingdom, should we not also spend much time teaching the things concerning the kingdom? Spend much time telling how to be members of the kingdom, the work of the kingdom, the officers of the kingdom, faithfulness to the ordinances of the kingdom. He taught them many things. It must have been a long message, because it lasted until even was come. But no one complained, even though they were hungry. Many churches today have put God on the clock. I have asked several preachers how long I had to speak, and they say, "We are on a tight schedule. 20 minutes is enough." It seems the preaching of the word is the least important thing on the program. Surely there must be some extra significance to this miracle, since the Holy Spirit saw fit to list it 4 times. So here is a partial list of some of the reasons why this miracle was so important. For one thing, toward the end of the day, the apostles advised the Lord to send them away. "Lord, get rid of this crowd, that they may go and buy themselves food. They're hungry, Lord, but this is no concern of ours." This is the way many churches handle the situation today. People are hungry for the bread of life all over the world. "But this is no concern of ours." The vision of the average church has been narrowed down to the confines of the church lot. If we can take in enough money to pay the bills and pay the preacher and the insurance or whatever, that is sufficient. Let us ignore the problem of preaching the gospel to every creature. A world without Christ is really no concern of ours. Actually, the major concern of any congregation should be the evangelism of the world. Jesus had said in the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that is the work he assigned the church to do. Secondly, a note that we need to consider is the fact that the Lord said, "Give ye them to eat. They have no need to go away." This was apparently an impossible task, to feed all these people. So when Jesus said, "Give ye them to eat," he said to Philip, "Whence should we buy bread that these may eat?" Obviously, there was no place to buy provisions. So Philip looked over the crowd and made up an estimation, 200 shillings, just enough to give everybody an hors d'oeuvre. That would be about 8 months' wages for everyone to have a little bite. However, they said they couldn't do it, but they could. They had forgotten to count on Jesus. Always remember, in any phase of the Lord's work to spread the gospel, don't forget to count on Jesus. Jesus is always in on the deal. The Great Commission seems impossible. How can we as a New Testament church carry the gospel to the entire world, to every creature? Never, never, never overlook the fact that the Great Commission includes the statement of Jesus. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We don't need to look beyond our local congregation for the answer to the conversion of the world to Christ. Next, consider what we could call the League of Andrew. He reported that there is a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many? Jesus said, make the people sit down. And there was much grass in the place. Andrew is mentioned as doing something 3 times, and every time he's doing the same thing. Andrew and John were the first of the future apostles to meet the Lord in the first chapter of John. As soon as Andrew met Jesus, he went and told his brother Simon, we have found the Messiah, and brought Peter to Jesus. In John 12, some Greeks came to Philip and said, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip was not sure the Lord would want to see these Gentiles, and so he went and told Andrew. Both Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. Andrew brought his brother Peter to the Lord. Then he brought the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord. Then he brought the delegation of Greeks to the Lord. Andrew had a talent for leading people into the presence of the Lord. There are many who are not able to teach or sing or organize, but many of us can lead others into the presence of the Lord Jesus as members of the League of Andrew. And now look again. When Andrew said, there are 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus said, bring them hither to me. It might not be much, but when what little we have is surrendered to the Lord, he can work a miracle with it. When David faced Goliath, if he had been like us, he would have said, Lord, I think I can do it. If only I had a sawed-off shotgun. David did not have a sawed-off shotgun. All he had was a sling. The Lord said, I think we can work with that. The definition of a modern-day miracle in 4 words is man's best, God blessed. If God has given you ability, you also have responsibility, so bring what little you have, and God will say, I think I can work with that. Bring it to me. It has been said the 10 most important 2-letter words in the English vocabulary are if it is to be, it is up to me. And now, let us look at the menu at the feeding of the 5,000. They were told to sit down in companies of hundreds and fifties. First, according to all 4 accounts, Jesus gave thanks for what they were about to receive. The ancient Jews had a prescribed way of giving thanks at the table, and perhaps the Lord used it when he gave thanks that day. He may have said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord God, King of the universe, who brought forth bread out of the earth." The apostles were the waiters, and they gave everyone present the special of the day: fish and a small loaf of barley bread. There is no hint that anyone called out to any of the apostles as they served and said, "Hey, Brother Philip, when you come back to Section D, bring me a little tartar sauce. This fish is rather dry." Did someone call out, "Oh, Brother Andrew, we need a little more hot coffee here in Section A"? How about someone saying, hey, Brother Peter, is the Lord serving dessert today? If he is, I'll take a double order of strawberry pie, and I'd like a little whipped cream on mine." Nothing like this was said. When Jesus fed this crowd, he used the same old staple diet they had been eating every day: nothing but fish and bread. And the Lord did not even provide a tablecloth, and no silverware. And worst of all, there were no chairs. They had to sit on the grass. Sometimes today we like to have things fancy. That's our culture. We have to have cushions on our seats and air conditioning and fancy buildings. The 5,000 that day were told to sit on the grass. Now today we like a little coffee and donuts, a dancing praise team, and special entertainment. Now all of this may be helpful, but if the world is ever to be won to Christ, it will have to be because of the same old staple diet of the Word of God, replete with large servings of repentance in this permissive, do-as-you-please world. All of the hoopla we have will be little comfort when they come to burn the church house down. Next, we notice something about the method of Jesus in feeding these people. Please notice the Lord did not feed them cafeteria style, where some may say, "I'll take a little of this, but I don't like that. I believe what the Lord said about heaven, but I don't believe what he said about hell. I will choose what I like in the Bible and reject what I don't like. Don't tell me anything I do not want to hear. Make me feel good and inspired." He fed by breaking the loaves and the fishes himself and gave to the apostles, and the apostles gave to the multitudes. Jesus was a chef, and the apostles were the waiters. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is still feeding the bread of life the same way today. He does not feed us the bread of life personally. He feeds us through the apostles. Even from the first, when the church was born, he fed the crowd through the apostles as waiters. They spoke the word of God as the Spirit gave them utterance. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "I delivered unto you that which I received." He didn't make it up. He delivered what God had given him. It appears that Peter was the head waiter on that day. And when he preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, they asked what they needed to do. When he told them what to do, it was something like this: he had received the Holy Spirit. He had nothing else to give but what he had received when he declared, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It seems that many today do not like what the apostles are serving. Peter would say, I am not the chef. I am only the waiter. All I have to give is what I have received. I have to serve what the master chef has given to me. He gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitudes, and they all ate and were filled. Now the next day, the same people, after they were completely filled, came looking for Jesus on the other side of the sea. They had been filled. They wanted to make him king. Jesus went to the other side. They followed him. And when they found him, he told them, You seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Work not for the food that perishes, but work for the food that abideth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. And when they asked for some of that bread, Jesus told them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Only in Christ can it be said, they were all filled. As John said in Revelation 7:16, they shall hunger and thirst no more. Now this, in conclusion, when the apostles saw the sign that he did, there was a groundswell, at first a murmuring, then it grew louder and louder. Jesus for King! Jesus for King! Jesus for King! What a thrill that must have been to the apostles. But Jesus knew better, because the next day when he preached his great sermon, the bread of life, as we just mentioned, he said, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in yourselves. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. His mission on earth was more than feeding the physically hungry. Jesus said in John 6:27, Work not for the food that perishes, but for the food that abides unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him the Father, even God, has sealed. Many of them said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? And went back and walked with him no more. Jesus said to the 12, Would you also go away? Peter answered for them all when he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Jesus said unto them, Did I not choose you 12? And one of you is a devil. Now this he spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And that is the way it is both then and now. 5,000 followed him one day, and the next day only 11 followed him. It is true in every audience. Jesus said in Matthew 22:14, Many are called, but few chosen. In any congregation, whether 100 or 1,000, all are called, but few chosen. If you subtract the indifferent, those who are there for entertainment, the hypocritical, all are called, but few chosen. All who are assembled for the services are called, the praise team, elders, deacon, and preacher, but only the ones who accept the message are chosen. There were 5,000 one day, and 11 the next, and that's the way it goes. Many are called, but few chosen. You've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bozeman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel, as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Many are called, but few chosen. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. And until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody somehow and in some way that God is just a prayer away.